This is 89.1 WEMU on a Wednesday. I'm David Fair, bringing you this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Today, we're going to talk some trash. Now, most of us collect our waste for a week, stick it out on the curb, and it gets conveniently hauled off to a landfill that is well out of our sight. There are all too many in the world who live amidst the trash and must use these illegal dumps as a source of economic sustenance. There's a nonprofit in Ann Arbor that works to improve these circumstances in different places around the globe. Our guest this morning is Mike Tenbush, and Mike is president of International Samaritan. And Mike, thank you for making time for us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I'm not sure everyone knows about International Samaritan, Mike, but it's been around for 25 years now, working to end generational poverty internationally. What is the genesis of the organization?
It's a really neat beginning, Dave. Down in Toledo, the president of Toledo, St. John's Jesuit in Toledo, in 94, took a group of kids on a service immersion trip to Guatemala City because of a traffic situation. They ended up kind of off the beaten path and came across this sprawling, unregulated garbage dump in Guatemala City. And they were so appalled by the conditions that they came across that they literally stopped to ask how they could help. I mean, the students, you know, went home, but said, came back to this Father Don Batiste and said, we've got to do something. And they wrote a letter to the mayor of Guatemala City asking how they could help. And he said, the folks in this community really need housing. And so St. John's Jesuit sent a group of kids with some funds and materials from Bill and Karen Pulte to go build housing the following year.
Really plays into that mantra of, if you see something, do something.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, it's 25 years later, and we've had thousands of young people from a couple of dozen schools across the country continue to go to now five countries, helping to create much better conditions for people who live and work in these communities surrounded by unregulated garbage dumps.
Obviously, this started as a faith-based organization. Is that still the case today?
It is. We are really built on the principles of Catholic social teaching, really care for creation, the dignity of life, and options for the poor. And you can just see how that would be built into our mission.
There is also an intersection of religion and environment as part of this as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. One of these seven principles of Catholic social teaching is all around care for God's creation. And so it's just been really neat for me personally to see how that commitment brings together people who may be across different political lines can really come together under the same care and the same desire to see our environment be better.
You measured that the work began in an area of Guatemala. What are some of the other areas of the world where you're now directing efforts?
Well, we focused for a long time right in Central America, so we're also in Nicaragua and Honduras. But in the last 7 years, we've grown to also serve Ethiopia as well as Jamaica in the Caribbean. We're focusing on growing to the largest 50 dumps in the world. There's a really good report put out by a group called D-Atlas in 2014 on the dangers of the 50 largest dumps in the world. Certainly, the places we're working in Guatemala and Honduras and Nicaragua are three of those, as well as the one in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. So our growth is really going to be focused on the most dangerous places to the environment and to the people around them.
Issues of the Environment and our conversation with International Samaritan President Mike Tenbush continues on 89.1 WEMU. Now, in your years of work, I imagine you've had occasion to visit some of these locations?
Yes, up until the pandemic, I was spending a week in each community every month for the first 2 years. I should have said our founder, Father Don Batiste, retired after 24 years of leading the organization, retired in 2018. So I came to just over 2 years ago and have been spending, just as I said, about a week every month in one of these communities. And it's just been fascinating.
Well, fascinating, I would imagine, but also potentially devastating. Describe to me what you've seen, because I suspect it is beyond what most of us have witnessed or even considered when we think of poverty. I mean, you're talking about living amid a trash dump.
Exactly right. And I try not to actually visit the garbage dumps themselves because that can be difficult for people to see. Like, I never want to be seen as a tourist or a stranger coming into a garbage dump. But the times that I have spent in the dump, it's difficult to even put into words how truly awful the conditions are. It truly is one of the most horrific things you could ever imagine.
So beyond the environmental and economic conditions of these sites around the world, there are related issues that almost ensure a cycle of poverty and a continuation of the conditions. What, if any, educational opportunities are those for living in those areas?
Well, the biggest challenge for our families is, from a cost-benefit analysis, it often would make more sense for their children as young as 5 and 6 to begin helping them collect cardboard and plastics in the dump, you know. And that's the story for many families, is that as soon as the children are able to kind of walk and work, the financial incentive is to get them helping the family collect these things.
Yeah, it's a hand-to-mouth life.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we've done is created a scholarship program to help change those financial incentives so that children in these families can attend a school, and we help pay for not only their schooling, their school uniforms, and their books, but many times what we've now done for almost 1,000 families is providing a stipend to help make sure the family has enough food. Because it certainly doesn't make sense for one child to go to school and the family starving. And so now 869 children on scholarships are also getting a monthly stipend from our team, who works with the families on the ground to make sure that no family will starve.
It is the start of a new life. You are listening to WEMU's Issues of the Environment. We're talking with International Samaritan President Mike Tenbush. Now, I would imagine living in such conditions can have a dramatic and adverse impact on health. Is there a lower life expectancy? Are we seeing tremendous and devastating impacts of having to subsist in this way?
Yes, there's one report found that the average life expectancy in these 50 largest dumps is only 35 years old.
That's less than half than the average.
That's exactly right. So not only have we sent dozens of teams to help provide medical services, we've begun to invest more heavily in local health professionals to make sure that there's consistent medical service in the community. And just this past year, we've begun actually working and raising the money to put in water wells to make sure that there's much better hygiene and potable water in each community. And we just finished 2 in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and it has just made a world of difference to that community to have potable water.
I'm glad you're noting the progress, but did the pandemic impact your ability to best serve the number of people in need?
Absolutely. This pandemic has been so awful, in part because the need just for clean water and the scarcity of it. So we've put a lot of resources into making shipping water in where it hasn't existed. But it's also kept, the governments have tried to keep the dump people from working in the dumps because they didn't want to spread the virus. And at the same time, because of the challenge to the economy, more people are losing their jobs in the formal economy and therefore resorting to going to work in the dumps. So you have this horrible situation of more people going to a place where less people are allowed to be working. And it's just proven to be very, very difficult for them.
Well, again, International Samaritan has been doing this work for 25 years, but there is enough work that needs to be done. You can't do it alone. Are there other humanitarian efforts being generated from the governments in those areas and perhaps throughout the United Nations that are going to make a difference moving forward?
Yeah, the United Nations has done a wonderful job on helping to eradicate poverty worldwide, but I have been surprised in my 2 years here how few organizations or NGOs across the world are focused specifically on helping people in the garbage dump communities. So we do collaborate with churches and any other schools, universities, and NGOs where we can find them. But quite frankly, I've been shocked at how few partners there are in this work. But we really do enjoy working with them wherever we can.
Have you been pleased in the ability of International Samaritan to leverage local support for your efforts and turn that into an international aid?
I've really just been amazed. I've spent most of my life living and working in Detroit to help eradicate poverty there. And quite frankly, the whole idea of global poverty seems so much beyond my reach. It's been just inspiring for me in 2 years here to see how many people dig deep and really give to help others that they may never even know or come across.
So what is your hope for 2021?
For this vaccine to get spread equitably, quickly across the world, and as soon as we can, to help folks get back to work, and for our families to not just survive but thrive despite what they're going through.
Mike, thank you so much for the time and the perspective today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dave. You're doing great work.
That is Mike Tenbusch, the president of International Samaritan and our guest on issues of the environment. For more information on today's topic, I encourage you to visit our website at WEMU.org. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and is heard each Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.